Thank you, Chris, and good morning, everyone. So what I'd like to do in the next 15 minutes is a brief lesson on the basics of genetics to try and introduce some of these terms that you might hear to describe what they are. So I want to begin with our bodies, because these are amazing. Whether we think about the skeletal system, which is like a scaffold on which our bodies are built, or we think about the digestive system, you can't hear, or the urinary system that regulates the salts, or the respiratory system that we get all of the oxygen from, of course, the circulatory system, you still can't hear. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Wonderful. So we have these amazing bodies. All of these systems are made up of organs that are very intricate, like the brain, the heart, and the bones. Of course, what builds these organs are cells, and there are about 50 trillion cells in an adult human. They come in many, many different types. We have bone cells that give us structure, nerve cells that transmit messages around our body, muscle cells that contract and give us movement. And the building blocks of within a cell are very also intricate structures. We have a nucleus within them. There are mitochondria that generate the energy demands of the cell. And within the cell, the building blocks of the cell are proteins. So again, there are many different types of proteins. There are gatekeepers that allow different molecules into and out of the cell. There are receptors that transmit messages from outside of the cell into the cell. There are enzymes that speed up reactions, and structural proteins. So two of the proteins that I show here are myosin and actin, which are very prominent in the muscle. And they form a tight kind of like a rope-like structure or a framework that allows the muscle to contract and allows the heart to beat. The information to make proteins is, of course, encoded in DNA, or deoxyribonucleic acid. Essentially, this is a chemical that's made up of a bit of sugar, a bit of phosphate, and then four different nucleotides called adenine, cytosine, guanine, and thymine, or we just abbreviate those to A, C, G, and T. The DNA is a helix, this kind of iconic structure, which you see in so many places now. And if we were to hold the DNA from a single cell in one strand, it would be about as tall as me. And yet that entire DNA is packaged up tightly into every single cell. Within the cell, the DNA is packaged into what we call chromosomes. And there are 46 chromosomes in the human body. There are 22 pairs of autosomes and then two sex chromosomes. So if you're a female, you have two X chromosomes. If you're a male, you have an X and a Y chromosome. A kangaroo has 16 chromosomes. A butterfly has over 250 chromosomes. The information to make each of the proteins is encoded in a discrete portion of DNA, which we call a gene. So there are 22,000 genes in the human, and they make the information of 22,000 proteins. The genes that we have are passed down through the generations, so from grandparents to parents and to children. And the information within each gene contains the information to make each of these proteins. We can think of DNA as a code of A, C, G, and T. And you've already heard from Chris how we've now determined what this code is in the human. And so this code is a sequence of letters that are 3 billion long. That's how many base pairs there are in the human. So in this information that we call the DNA code, it's already been solved. This was a monumental achievement through many different research centers around the world. And as Chris mentioned, it's been called the Book of Life. So in one research institute in England called the Sanger Institute, they've turned this into the Book of Life. They've actually printed out all 3 billion letters of the human genome, and you can go to their museum and you can have a look at it. So this is broken down into different books, each a volume. A series of volumes make chromosomes, and so there's all 22 volumes plus the X and Y. So it's this sequence of letters that make us what we are. It's this sequence of letters that make us either a handsome human, a scary spider, a poisonous toadstool, or even a virus. So all living things are made up of a different sequence of A, C, G, and T. There are many differences in the DNA. So there are different types of differences. We can either have a single replacement of one letter for another. We can have an addition of one letter or more. We can have a deletion of one letter or more. And it's these differences that make us what we are. There are about 4 million differences between you and the person sitting next to you. There's probably a few less if you're related, and there might be a few more if you're from a different ethnic background. Most of these differences have no effect on us whatsoever at all, at least not measurable. Some of the differences account for the differences in appearance, our different eye colour, or whether we can roll our tongue, or from the tallest to the shortest person. Unfortunately, some of these differences also create disease. So a single base change in a single gene can lead from a normal heart to a diseased heart. And it's these types of differences that a lot of our research is trying to identify. And it's quite a challenge when you consider there are 4 million differences between you and your neighbour, and we might only be looking for a single difference. What we're trying to do is build up a catalogue, if you like, of the genes that, when they have a change in them, lead to a disease. So already, we know for a number of genes that cause, for example, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And a different set of genes, if they're altered, can create a long QT syndrome phenotype. But you'll see from this list that it's incomplete. So we might be able to identify a change that causes hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in 50% or 60% of people. But the list is incomplete. So what we're looking for are the extra genes that lead to hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and other conditions. Now, because we've already read the entire human genome, we know where all of the genes are. So there are some genes, like at the bottom here, that we know they're there, but we don't know if they're changed. Do they lead to disease or not? And this is the type of questions that we're going to look at later when we focus on the role of research.